Brian, with that said, I'm now going to give it back to Brother Rao. Brother Rao.
Yes, sir. Brother Smith, we're honored that you're with us tonight, and we're thankful that you've decided to speak to us tonight. And before he speaks, church, most of you know that Brother Smith is Sister Helen Nichols' son. She's been a longtime faithful saint of God in this church, and Brother Smith is her son. And Brother Smith pastors in Victorville. He's been there for many years. He's got to work there. And I want to tell you, church, I grew up listening to Brother Smith from youth camps and later on to youth conventions and senior camps. And he's been a voice in many, many young people's lives. He's been a great example to many abroad. And tonight he still continues to bless many as a father, as a son, as a husband. And I'm sure as a pastor he has faced many, many difficult challenges. But yet tonight he still displays an unwavering trust and a faith in God. And Brother Smith, we want you to know that we love you. Amen. We're looking forward to hearing from you tonight. And we want to say God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Rao. And praise the Lord, everybody from Truth Church. And this
yes,
is certainly a new venue that we're in and in a different day and age. And these are exciting times. I have never done anything like this, so it is my pleasure. And I'm just gonna preach the word, if the Lord would be with me, amen. I want to say thank you to Pastor Clark first of all. I know he's busy at this point, but thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. To Truth Church, I want to let you know that for our church, we have been Facebook living every service, live streaming, and so I threw it out to our church tonight. Right now, I am standing in my church, and we are Facebook live with my congregation. My congregation can see me and can hear me right now. I want them to know that my target audience is Truth Church, but we decided to make this available to you, and I hope you are blessed by this as well. So many of us are at home and needing things to do and needing to stay occupied, so I made this available to my church. So two churches coming together. And what can the Lord accomplish when people come together? Amen. I want to preach for a few minutes, and as I said, this is new for me. I hope the volume doesn't go high to low and you just completely lose it. But I am an apostolic preacher, and I have an idea. I'm gonna be preaching. I'm gonna get animated, which you can't see, but my verbal volume will go up and down, and I pray that where you are, whether you're in your house, your room, your kitchen, your living room, maybe you went out into the backyard, maybe you're in your car, I pray that the Lord would speak to you today as well. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. God, I love you today. I want to thank you for this opportunity you've given us. God, I want to thank you that you are still God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, your church, the crown jewel that belongs to you. I ask that you would bless them today and speak to them in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, right? That's what we say in church. So let's go to the word of the Lord. I want to preach to you today from this subject. Still the church. Still the church. This is a great time to be part of the apostolic church. God's church has a grand history. Our past is regal. The present is exciting and mysterious. The future is rich and magnificent. This has to be one of the most exhilarating periods of the church. The thrill of the unknown is magnified by the omniscience of God. What is unknown to man is known to God. God knows what he is doing. God knows where we are. Furthermore, none of this took God by surprise. That thought alone should bring great comfort and strength to the church. God has everything in his control, and the church is still the church. Amen. David came strolling into the camp of Israel and was surprised at what he felt and what he saw. The atmosphere was charged with an uneasiness and apprehension. You could see it in their body language and in the verbal cues. Fear was present. David was puzzled by what he saw. He walked into camp at peace, confident and sure of the men of war in this camp. He knew this camp. He knew these men. He knew the exploits of great and mighty men of God. Some of them were his own brothers. And as he walks into this camp, he is seeing and feeling something much different than what he expected. David's opinion of Israel was greater than the fighting men's opinion of themselves. David's view of Israel's foe was much lower than the military men's view was of their enemy. And so at some point, a big, sinister voice boomed across the valley from one wall to the other. Panic and cowardice rippled through the camp. Every hiding place was filled by cowering soldiers. But David stood still. He had one question for the men of valor. As he looked around at men mighty in the past, but cowardly in the present, and hiding in every hiding place, he looked around and said, "Is there not a cause?" Amen. Is there not a cause? The cause of Calvary is the greatest cause of all time. Nothing puts Calvary to shame. Nothing embarrasses the cause of Calvary. Nothing dominates or controls the authority of Calvary. The crimson red color of Calvary does not run except over the blood-washed and blood-bought bride of Jesus Christ. You see, the church is still the church. The church is still the church because of Calvary, because of that crimson red color of the blood, and this cause that we have embraced, this cause that we have thrown ourselves into, this cause that has totally changed us, is worth everything in life. Amen. Praise God. I hope this is coming across to you, True Church. Brother Ryle, are you on there? Is this all right? Have I lost you guys?
No, sir. No, sir. We are with you, Brother Smith. Hallelujah.
Okay. I just, in my mind, I'm thinking, man, this, they tuned out a long time ago because of technical difficulties, but you can tell I'm feeling it. I know you are feeling it because being a part of the Church of the Living God is the greatest thing to happen to any one of us. Amen. Embracing the cause of Jesus Christ will put a boldness in your spirit as it did with Peter. Instead of looking at present circumstances and looking at the giants in our life and looking for a hiding place, whenever those giants raise their voice, amen, the church that has embraced the cause stands still as David did and looks around and says, wait a minute, where is the strength? Where is the commitment of the cause? Is there not a cause? Amen. Forever, the church has faced struggle. Obstacles have always been in its path. The church has been troubled and perplexed and persecuted and cast down. But the word tells us the church has not been distressed or in despair or forsaken or destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul tells the church at Corinth, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Living inside of me is the greatest thing that anybody has ever experienced. We have this treasure in these earthen vessels. Oh, this flawed humanity that consumes me is upheld by this treasure of God that lives inside of me. Hallelujah. Praise God. We understand that this is a very tenuous time. We are navigating waters no one among us has navigated before. Suicides have increased. Depression, alcoholism, drug abuse, and domestic violence are rising at alarming rates. People are getting antsy and restless. Protesters, fake news, the stress of life on pause. The tug of war between government and its citizens around the globe has created a tempest looking to release its pressure. How about the church? What is the church going to do? Where are we going back? No one has definitive answers. No one has a foolproof strategy. Things are changing daily. And just when you think you have something to shoot for, just when you think you have a little bit of hope that life is going to resume and go back to normal, you see, that's the problem right there. Life cannot go back to normal. Life cannot go back to normal. But things are changing daily, bringing a shroud of mystery to things. What do we do? Be the church. Do the work of the church. How can we be the church if we can't come to church? Understand the model of the apostolic church was that ministry was done outside of the four walls of the church. They assembled for strength, encouragement, and worship, but they departed for ministry. They did the work of the church from house to house. That was the model of the early church. They did the work of God. They did the work of the ministry outside. They assembled for strength. They assembled for encouragement. They assembled to worship together the living God. But the work of the church was performed outside of the church. The church has always been proactive. The early 20th century model was the church/mission. Prior to World War II, in the 20s and 30s, the church was a mission for the community. They fed, clothed, and educated the community. But after World War II, post-World War II, society became more affluent. Suburbs grew. Jobs were created. People had more money. Big, beautiful church buildings were built. And as a result of this, the work of the church was centralized in the location of the building. So no longer did the work of the church happen at Fourth and Grove and Sixth and Mountain and Francis and San Antonio, but the work of the church was localized at 602 North Virginia. So if God was going to move among the church, it had to come through the pastor at the church. I'm telling you, that's not the apostolic model. The apostolic model is that we come together. The man of God hears from God. He gives us direction and inspiration. He ministers under the anointing of God. But the church then goes in to the world. The church then goes into Chino and Fontana and Ontario and Upland and Montclair. And there the church takes the spirit within them and it accomplishes the will of God in the church. Amen. The work, the present day model of localizing the church and big, beautiful buildings began post-World War II. And understand, that is not a bad model. It's a model that about all of us have grown up on. It's a model that we have had for almost 80 years. It's not a bad model, but I fear that it has not served us to the optimal to the optimal potential. Somebody wants the Holy Ghost? Let's go to the church. You want to be prayed for? Let me call my pastor. Somebody wants a Bible study? Come on Wednesday night. And now suddenly we're finding that people can get the Holy Ghost at John Galvin Park. People can get the Holy Ghost in your Monday night Bible study at your home. People can be prayed for there at your job, at the post office, at Euclid and it's been too many years, Euclid and Holt. The work of the church can happen outside of the four walls. You see, the church is a centralized place where we come for instruction, guidance, direction, and strength. This is where we come to be equipped to do the work of the church. Church that is done in our communities outside of the four walls of our building. Amen. And God has been good to us. We have done great things. God has done great things with this model of a centralized church. Then an invisible microscopic microbe. A virus unseen by the naked eye makes its presence known to the world, and the church can no longer be the church. No, just like the early church that was dispersed from its centralized location in Jerusalem to the four corners of the planet due to persecution, the church took the whole gospel to the whole world. Understand, it may have been weeks since you have worshiped inside of your beautiful building. It may have been weeks since the entire church was able to come together except for a drive-in service. But the church, I want you to know, the church is still the church. The church can still do the work of God in whatever manner. There is nothing that stops God from reaching people. I think the church needs to go back to being the church and stop thinking about coming to church. We'll get back when we get back. But in the meantime, there are souls to save. There are prayers to pray. There are miracles to happen. And the relationship with Jesus Christ that must be built. Let the church be the church. Let the church still do the work of the church, no matter the obstacles that come, no matter the dispersal of the saints of God. During this time, we'll come back together. And when we do, it'll be high praise and a great celebration. But in the meantime, God wants to change somebody. God wants to reduce those suicide numbers that are going up. God wants
answer is the need in the drug addict's life at this time. God wants to do the work that God does. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Several years ago, I don't even know, Ontario, I don't even know if this was appropriate. I don't know if I was supposed to just teach or what, but really this is what I'm feeling is in the midst of a world that's drowning in chaos, and man, you can be overwhelmed by the media and the protesters and the negativity. What I'm feeling in my heart is that the church just needs to focus and be the church. Don't worry about what is out of our hands. Don't worry about government intrusion. God is not surprised by anything, and he wants to move in his church, in his body, and when the doors open, whenever that may be, you're going to see an influx of people who are taking assessments of their life. They're looking at themselves and they're making commitments right now. They're making commitments that I'm not going back to the way it was before. Hallelujah. Several years ago, Doris walked out of Dee Dee's Discount on Saturday before Easter. Two of the ladies in our church were passing out tracts, standing in front of Dee Dee's Discounts, and they were inviting people to our Easter service. They gave her one of our church cards. She looked at it, Victory Apostolic Church, and she called her friend, her telephone friend, back in Chicago. And she told her friend, she said, I got this card. It says Victory Apostolic Church. And the friend got excited and said, yes, that's it. That's it. That's what I've been telling you about. And the friend said, I've been telling you to go to an apostolic church. You need to go. And so Doris came on Easter Sunday the very next day. That was her first time in an apostolic church. 7 weeks later, on Pentecost Sunday, God filled Doris with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me go Paul Harvey on you now and give you the rest of the story. Her telephone friend was a lady she had never met, never saw her, never shook her hand, never hugged her neck. I don't know that they even knew what each other looked like. You see, her friend, an apostolic sister in Chicago, picked up the phone one day and dialed a number trying to reach another friend, and it was a wrong number. Doris's son answered the phone, and Doris overheard the conversation, and she got after her son and said, you don't have to be rude, don't talk to them like that. And Doris took the phone from him, and they began to talk. They began to develop a friendship, and months would go by, and this apostolic lady in Chicago would call Doris every now and then and would witness to her. After a while, God put it all together. Actually, God was putting it together long before us humans got involved. But you see, it was a lady, no doubt, who was praying, God, let me be a witness in some way. And God used 20th century or maybe it's even 19th century technology. Use the telephone to put a hunger, plant a seed within Doris's life. Doris was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have to meet at an altar. They didn't have to meet here at the church. In fact, they never met at all. And hopefully by the grace of God, when they do meet face to face, they'll be dancing on streets of gold. Hallelujah. I was speaking to a friend of mine just the other night, another pastor, and he was telling me that during this period of time of COVID-19, sheltering in place, not able to have church, and the most they're able to do is have drive-in services. He told me that we are currently teaching 16 Bible studies. I have people teaching Bible studies, he told me, who have never taught Bible studies. And as a result, we
we have a contact, and things are moving down in Mexico. And by the time this is all over, we may have a church planted in Mexico as a result of this. The other night, he received a phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning. He said it was from a sister in his church. And the sister was saying, "Pastor, my husband is in the other room praying." And she lifted the phone away from her ear so the pastor could hear it. Her husband used to be the assistant pastor in this church, walked away from God several years ago, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, he was touching the throne of God. The pastor could hear it. He asked the wife, he said, "Did you go in there?" She said, "No, I don't want to disturb him," but he was touching God. The next day, he called the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I am so sorry. I made horrible mistakes, but I want you to know I'm making my way back." The next day, Sunday, in fact, just 2 days ago, he was at the drive-in service in a suit. I saw a picture of it. He was in the parking lot standing, socially distant from his pastor, but standing there saying, "I'm home. I'm home." He didn't pray through at the altar. He didn't pray through when the praise team was singing. He didn't stop the song service. No, he did it at home. God will reach every hungry heart. Hallelujah. Yep. And from what I understand, even a couple of the ladies in your church are teaching Bible studies over the phone. Let God move and let the church be the church. Praise God. One dear old sister lived for God many years. I don't know if she's still alive or not. She told my brother-in-law this a couple of years ago. She and her husband had labored in the vineyard of the Lord, pastoring churches all over the West Coast, Arizona, and California. She was well into her 90s, and her step had slowed, and physically she just wasn't able to do some of the things that she wanted to do. But she told my brother-in-law sat next to her at camp meeting and asked, "How you doing?" And she said, "You know, I'm doing all right. I just, you know, I'm tired. I just can't move like I used to move. But I want to work for God." And she started to relate the story to him that she was asking God, "Would you use me? I don't know how I could be used, but would you use me somehow, some way to help somebody?" And it wasn't too long after that she received a phone call that too turned out to be a wrong number. But she was not going to let an opportunity slip. And so she began to witness to this lady. She began to call this lady every now and then. Several months later, the lady called her and she said, "You know what? I need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Can you point me to a church?" This old dear sister sent her to an apostolic church several states away. And there that lady was baptized in Jesus' name and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This dear sister didn't need a Wednesday night service. She didn't need a Sunday morning service. She didn't need the choir on Sunday night to be a vessel for God. All she said was, "God, somehow use me." I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you with the restrictions that are placed upon us, do not restrict God. God can do anything during this time. Daniel said in chapter 11, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." We're familiar with the old model and the old plan. It's tradition. It's formality. It's what we live with. It's the only thing we know. But God's saying, "I want to take you into waters you've never walked in before." God's saying, "I want to give you a fresh touch. touch, a new anointing. I want to expand the vision of the church to look beyond the four walls located at 602 North Virginia. I want you to be able to look all over the Pomona Valley. I want you to be able to look all over the Inland Empire. I want you to look all over Southern California and the world at large. I'm able to do what you cannot even imagine. But don't limit me. Just be a vessel that I can use. Hallelujah. Praise God. The church has faced challenges before. From a lion's den to an angry giant, to persecution, to underground churches, the church has adapted, changed, evolved, fought, remained steadfast while staying true to the mission and cause of Jesus Christ. Put every restriction possible on us. Persecute us, limit our civil rights and religious liberties. The church will still be the church. Deny us the opportunity to congregate. Legislate, there is no God. Let there be a falling away. The church is still the church. You see, my God is a sustaining God. In a lion's den or on a tilted battlefield, God is God, and he sustains his church. Somebody has to be the church in this hour. Somebody has to pray the prayer of faith. Somebody has to conquer fear in a sea of panic. Somebody has to be the calm in the midst of the storm. David said, let me do it. Let me be the one. Is there not a cause? Is this not worth buckling up, getting rid of the doubt, the fear and the negativity, and saying, God, lead me, because your cause is worthy. We are still the church. The songwriter wrote, fear is a liar. Apprehension is a faith killer. Impatience is a trust killer. And so let God use you to minister, to be a vessel, a conduit of his anointing. Because this is a new day, and God wants to do great things with his people. I'm drawing this to a close, and I'm going to ask something of true church. We're going to play a song. I don't know what the quality will be, but I'm asking you to take just a few moments and just in your house, wherever you are. Oh, I'm asking you in your home, wherever you are, just to open your heart. Say, God, I want a new outlook. I want a new vision. I want your vision during this time. Instead of waiting and saying, when we get back, I want to change my outlook and say, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Would you use me? Oh, God, would you use me? Would you move in my heart today? Would you let me be a vessel? In Jesus' name, come on, true church, Victory Apostolic Church, wherever you are. Come on, worship the Lord. Let the Lord touch you. Let the Lord move in your heart. Lead you to somebody. Maybe it's a wrong number. Maybe it's a wrong turn. Maybe it's an encounter at a grocery store. But God, use us. Use us. Use us. I'm going to be getting off the phone, true church. I'm going to lay this down and let the music speak to you. Open your heart today. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
What happened? The generation embraced it.
Brother Smith, I wish we can greet you tonight other than just words, but a handshake, a hug tonight. Thank you so, so very much for bringing this word to the church. As you were preaching, I was receiving text messages saying, tell Brother Smith to preach it, preach it, preach it. We just want to say a great, great big thank you so, so very much. Amen. As Brother Smith was preaching tonight, amen, so many scriptures were going through my head that things like the Lord, we know the Lord doesn't dwell just in temples that man has made, that we are the church and he lives in us. Amen. We can have church anywhere. We are the church. It's not just the buildings that make up our church. It's we are the people. Amen. We are the church. Thank you so much, Brother Smith. God bless you. Brother Vic, amen. Are you there tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Rowland. Thank you, Brother Smith. And thank you for that apostolic message and for reminding us that we are part of the apostolic church. It was powerful. And like Brother Raul said, yes, we've been getting the text messages. Just one message came in saying that's that same Brother Smith who preached the youth conferences and junior camps when I was growing up. So a lot of great memories there as well. Church, why don't we just thank God right now one more time while we're feeling this great anointing for this great message we heard. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Brother Smith, for his church, and for his word.
Thank you for this word.
We thank you for this apostolic message, Lord.
The true word of God, of a man of God.
Thank you, Lord,
for feeding us.
And help us to follow through with what you want.
Oh, help us, Lord God, to take these words and put them in our hearts and our mind and our spirits.
Jesus,
thank you for this. We give you praise for it.
Thank you.
We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. And with that said, we want to remind everybody that tomorrow morning we're having our morning manna devotion. I got to tell you, we have some surprise speakers tomorrow morning manna devotion, as well as our tomorrow evening devotion. And so you'll be pleasantly surprised. Make sure you do not miss it. We'll see everyone tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. With that said, God bless all of you. Have a great night.